Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says the unemployment rate in this country is currently holding at 5%. Now, that's roughly half of what it was 6 years ago during the Great Recession. So we're doing pretty well now. The jobs are out there. You just have to get them. And that's the tricky part. And that's where Dr. Tom Denham comes in. He runs the career counseling firm Careers in Transition, LLC, in Albany, and he has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to resumes, interviews, and marketing yourself to potential employers. So if you're looking for a job or maybe preparing for an interview, you need to tweak that resume, thinking about switching up careers, now's the time to call 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop or go to Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You'll see a Vox Pop post there. Let's see, what else? Oh, email, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org for your email. But again, the number to call on this call-in program is 800-348-2551. Dr. Tom Denham, welcome back. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and I'm glad to be back.
Are you working?
Thank you for having me. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have lots of clients and people making career and job transitions, especially at this time of the year. People start to think about their goals for 2016.
Yeah, and are there a lot of unreasonable goals at this time of year that get quickly squashed early in the next year?
No, I think since the job market is really good, people that were holding on during the Great Recession are now thinking, this is probably a good time for me to make some kind of change. Sometimes people are coming in just to get their resume updated, but other people are thinking like, yeah, maybe I really do want to make a job or a career change.
How much of this is psychological as far as the job market being really good? I mean, I also hear statistics that a lot of people have just given up and they're not even trying anymore.
Right. I mean,
the jobs are out there.
The jobs are out there. The unemployment rate, I believe, in the capital region is between 4.1 and 4.3%.
Yeah.
There's a difference between there are a lot of jobs out there and there are a lot of jobs out there that I would like to do or I would be satisfied.
Yeah.
Doing.
And we've talked about that before. You have a plan and then a backup plan and a backup plan.
Wow, you actually remembered that.
It's amazing because I don't even remember what day it is, but I remember that.
Because I keep saying the same thing over again. Okay, there's three types of jobs. There's the ideal or dream job, the backup or realistic job, and then the safety or survival job. So
right.
The ideal job is the most difficult to get, but that's the one you're going to be the most satisfied with.
Right.
And so if you're not willing to make the sacrifices to do that, you go to the backup or realistic job. And then if you lose your job and you start running out of cash, you go to the safety or survival job.
Mm. And so you say a lot of people are looking for jobs, careers in transition, seeing a lot of business nowadays. So what are people looking for now?
All kinds of things. I'm sort of like a general practitioner. So I have high school students, college students, people in mid-career, mid-life. People are looking for marketing, sales, human resources. I just worked with somebody who is in the IT field. People are going back to school for social work and physical therapy, all kinds of things.
And are you seeing now that at least the attitude among the populace is the job market is getting better. Are you seeing more older folks saying, okay, now it's time to switch?
Yes, and I see a lot of I'll just say people between 55 and 65 saying, you know what, if I'm going to make a change, I better make it now, and I want to do work that's meaningful and significant.
Isn't that a dangerous time to do that?
It is, but it's a time where you can't afford to get it wrong because time's not on your side. So you have to balance, you know, planning for retirement and savings, and you're in your prime earning years. At the same time, when do you get to do the work that you love to do?
Yeah.
When does that happen?
I don't know. I work in radio. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Tom Denham is our guest. Let's go to the phones. And Oliver in Ithaca, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This last Monday, I had two interviews. One is a backup job, as you call it, and one is an ideal job for me, both with nonprofits. And the backup job offered me the position today, and the salary is not what I would like. And the ideal job, they're looking to hire after the holiday and will likely get back to me with next steps next week. I'm kind of in an interesting situation. What do I do?
Bird in the hand situation.
Well, my thought is, let's imagine you just take the backup job, okay?
Okay.
You know, and once you get into that job, I give you a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you're going to be like, oh, gosh, this is really not what I want, okay? It's kind of like the difference between taking the woman you want to the junior prom or taking your sister, okay? The
right.
sister is kind of like the backup. It's
yeah.
not the person.
Depending on what state you live in.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So, you know, Ray and I were just talking about when do you get the chance to have the ideal or dream job? When, you know, you should be doing work that you absolutely love to do. And again, that's hard to find, but life is too short and you spend more time at work than in any other aspect of your job.
Right,
if you've got a chance to get an ideal job, I would say go for it.
All right, let me ask you this. This is what Devious Ray would say. What is stopping Oliver from saying, yeah, I'll take that backup job, and then in a month, the job that Oliver wants is, boy, we want you, and then say, hey, sorry, backup job, I am out of here.
Okay, and then what happens if he is given the ideal job, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, we actually had somebody else that we had in mind, so we're going to let you go. It's like,
well,
do unto others.
Mean?
Well, it's like, how would you feel?
That would be very, very unscrupulous of an employer to do that.
Yes, exactly.
But Oliver,
so.
He's trying to make ends meet and
yeah.
trying to do the best for himself.
Well, it depends on what the backup job is. I mean, if they need you during the holidays and you could say, look. If you would be absolutely honest with them and say, hey, listen, I have another offer that's probably going to be coming pretty soon. If you'd like me to fill in for a couple weeks and you really need me, I would be happy to do that. And
that's dangerous then, but what if the job he wants doesn't show up? And then he's already said, listen, I only want to do this.
Okay, well then.
Or the backup job says, hey, you know, we have someone else that really wants the job.
Yeah,
okay.
That honesty kills you, Tom.
Yeah, but you have to live with yourself too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oliver, are you okay with deceiving an employer?
As a career counselor, I have to take the ethical line.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. Hey, that's a great
question. Well, and here's the other thing. Say he takes the backup job and he doesn't get the ideal job. If he knows what the ideal job is, then he should be starting to apply and reach that. If you're in your backup job, it's like getting a silver medal. You don't want to go through life with a silver medal. You want to strive to that next level.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't be, the thing is, don't be complacent. If you get the backup job, don't be like, okay, I'm just going to park myself here for 5 years.
Sure.
Well, how long is long enough? I mean, in other words, my scenario was he gets the job offer for the job he wants in a month. Isn't that long enough?
Well, it depends on a variety of factors. How old are you, first of all?
I'm 31.
You're 31. Okay. And he has to decide, does he like the job duties? Does he like the boss, the salary, the benefits, the compensation? And you have to also think, like, where could this job take me? In the short term, you have to do this job for at least a year. Preferably 2 to 3 years. And during that time, you have to be strategizing about, okay, on my 35th birthday, what am I going to be doing? And how does this job get me there? So you have to constantly be thinking about your longer term goals.
Okay.
And you get clarity on that.
Hey, Oliver, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Dr. Tom Denham is our guest. 1-800-348-2551. Joanne and Rhinebeck, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm trying to get the radio off.
Oh, good. That's a good thing to do.
Okay, here I am. You mentioned earlier that people are going back to school and retraining,
yes.
For instance, MSWs.
Yeah.
Are there any legitimate programs that help people to do this? I mean, you see on the internet all these come-ons, but
right.
Is there anything?
Okay, so if you were going to go, it depends on where you live. If you were living in the Capital Region, the University of Albany has a School of Social Work. So the very first thing I would do is make an appointment with them, either have a phone consultation with them or go to their admissions office and see what their process is, see what kind of financial aid, what is the cost, and then also, what are the outcomes? Where do graduates go? What's the average starting salary of a graduate? So I would do some research. There are a lot of online programs. I think you have to do a lot of research and see if they're really legitimate, and they are accredited.
Right. So you're saying go to particular schools and find out their policies, but there are no government programs at this time?
I'm not a specialist in that.
Ah. Well, he's honest about it.
Yeah.
All right.
You may want to go to, for example, you may want to go to the one-stop career center that the Department of Labor has. They may have some additional information. But I think it also, I think it depends on the situation. You may want to call the school and ask them, have they worked with any government agencies that provide grants, loans, or assistance that could be useful? So the school may,
great
may
idea.
School may know, too. So I hope that helps.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, my pleasure. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call. Our guest is Dr. Tom Denham. He heads up the career counseling firm Careers in Transition in Albany. Where are you guys in Albany, by the way?
I'm off of Wolf Road, 11 Computer Drive West.
I
and,
see.
You know, after the show, if people want to contact me, we'll give out my, you know, my name, my phone number and contact information.
Oh, fair enough.
Happy
yeah,
to.
I think we have a link to your website, too,
on our
Vox Pop website. Yep. All right, let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back with Dr. Tom Denham.
Support for WAMC comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive media displays, and commercial casework for corporate interiors, museum installations, and trade shows. EmpireExhibits.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York. Featuring plants, trees, and gifts for the holidays. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, and Sundays, 9 to 4. A gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts. A family-owned business for over 50 years. Boydenandperrin.com. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York. Specializing in extra-sharp New York cheddar since 1923. Offering imported cheddars, specialty cheeses, nostalgic candies, local baked goods, honey and maple products in every corner of our store, waterwheelvillage.com. And Shire City Sanctuary, 10th Annual Holiday Shindy, December 11th to 13th. Original, regional crafts and artisanal food products, shirecitysanctuary.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. That's the program, don't you know? It's our call-in program. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Ray Graff here, joined today by Dr. Tom Denham of Careers in Transition. And boy, the lines are loaded. Before we get to Larissa in Poughkeepsie, what's the worst thing that someone could do in a job interview?
Oh, what's the worst
thing? Worst thing.
Oh, I don't know, give a high five when they greet them instead of a handshake?
No, you know what? That's always worked for me. You're not being helpful. Let's go
Let
to the
me
phones.
Get back to you on that.
Larissa in Poughkeepsie. Larissa, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I've been out of work for 12 years. I've been a stay-at-home mother. But I have a resume, mm-hmm. and my last job I worked was in 2003. So I'm been getting my feet wet and going back into I'm currently working for the school district as a temp.
Okay.
And they'll call me for jobs when they become available.
Okay.
And I went to apply for the job that was full time, but they denied me. They didn't even want me to come back. And I'm like, well, what did I do wrong
okay.
here? You know. So I've been out of work for quite a long time, and I just don't know what direction to go. I went
okay.
to the Department of Labor. And
do you know what field that you want to pursue?
I was previously I was customer representative.
Okay.
Which is quite lovely working with the public.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you want? That's what you want to get into? Is that
I do. Get
okay.
back with people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wrote an article. You can find it on the internet. It's called Volunteer into a Career.
Uh-huh.
And you just type in my last name, Denham. Volunteer into a career. The problem is you have a gap on your resume, a huge
right.
gap, and people have the attention span of a gnat these days. So if they see such a large gap and it's not plugged in with volunteer experiences or part-time jobs or consulting, they have a hard time with that. The other thing that I would suggest you do is I would develop what's called a LinkedIn LinkedIn profile, LinkedIn.com, LinkedIn,
okay.
And go in there and get your resume updated and put in the information there. Networking will be a very, very, very important strategy for you because
okay.
I don't think you have enough people on the inside or people sending you job opportunities.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, 80% of your job search time should be spent networking.
Okay.
All
sounds
right.
Good.
Okay.
Good luck, Larissa. You know, I remember from the last time you were on, you're a big proponent of LinkedIn.
Huge.
I got to tell you, I don't see what the fuss is about. Maybe because I've worked here 18 years.
Right. That's probably.
And I have one, and I keep it up, and new connections and everything else.
Right.
But
most people are changing jobs 3, 5, 7 years. And if the number one networking strategy the number one job search strategy is networking, I propose a high-touch, high-tech job search strategy, which means you're going out, you're meeting people, but then how do you manage them? You manage them in LinkedIn. Back in the day, we used to call it a Rolodex.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you have LinkedIn, you have a Rolodex, but you're not leveraging it.
So let me ask you a philosophical question. Say they fire me, which it's certainly a foregone conclusion at some point. But then do I throw it out on LinkedIn and say, hey, guess what? I'm out of work. What do you got?
Right.
Really?
Yes.
You would do that?
Well, what would you do if you got fired 20 years ago? You would work your Rolodex.
I suppose.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. And
but here's, you have to dig your well before you're thirsty, said Harvey McKay. So what I would be doing is, for anyone that's out there that has a job, you keep nurturing, building, weeding, and building up your LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So that one day when there's a merger acquisition or you get a new boss and the new boss doesn't like you and makes your life a living hell, then you can start to use your LinkedIn. But you don't want to, it's very much like planting seeds. It's like you plant seeds and then the next day you want to harvest. It doesn't work that way. You plant seeds and then, you know, they grow over time.
All right, let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Dr. Tom Denham is our guest. Let's go to Tom in Amsterdam. Tom, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. I worked for a not-for-profit for 25 years, so I've always done meaningful work. And funding changed, and I got laid off a few years ago. And I manage some family properties right now. And so I've always sort of had a flexible schedule, and I'm really not interested in finding a job, so to speak. But I do want to figure out how to make it to retirement because I'm going on 50, and I saved all my pennies during those years that I was actively employed. And one thing I've been thinking about as a second career is doing something along the lines of like senior fraud protection or child abuse or some kind of online security.
Okay.
And I was wondering what advice you might have for how to pursue that type of work.
Okay. Well, the very first thing I would do is understand those three types of jobs, the ideal, the backup or realistic job, and the safety or survival job. And I would get clarity on what those job targets are. So you take these ideas that are out of in your head, and you have to write them down and get clarity. And then you have to begin to do your job search. Or if you, there's three things you can do. You can go back to school, you can start a business, which would be consulting, or you can do a job search.
Start with a job search to see what kind of jobs there are and what qualifications they need?
Right. I mean, so once you know what your job targets are, you can do the research. You can look at job opportunities in your particular area. You have to decide how far you're going to go out, you know, in terms of commuting. But the other thing I would suggest you do is you sit down with a financial planner, which is not my area of expertise, and make sure you have a financial plan for retirement. So you can, with that person, you can jointly decide what is the income level that I need in order to fund my retirement. And that may drive some of your career choices as well.
Okay. And are these kind of jobs likely to all be government jobs? Or does that make them harder to get or easier to get? Or
I would say some of them are probably government. Some of them may be in the private sector. Some of them may be, you know, non-governmental organizations, nonprofits. So that's part of your career exploration, your career research. And the other thing I would do is talk to people who are already in these particular occupations or fields and see what they can do. Again, it goes back to networking.
All right, Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Our guest is Dr. Tom Denham of Careers in Transition. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Stephen in Slingerland. Stephen, you're on.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have an issue with the fact that I'm not as young as I was. I'm 70 years old. And I don't feel 70. I don't think I look 70. But in applying for jobs, actually one website actually asked me my age,
Whoops.
Which is against the law. But I've been applying for jobs, and I've got a good educational background. I have a bachelor's and a doctor of jurisprudence. But I'm not interested in practicing law anymore, and I want to get out in some other areas. I have a very deep background in not-for-profits and being members of boards of trustees and things like that. But I, at this juncture, I need the money, and I'd like to work. And I'm not getting many responses.
Okay. You could have a focus problem. It might be that your job search is kind of one all over place. It's a multifaceted problem. So
actually, it's not.
Okay,
it's,
what is the type of work that you want to do?
Well, I'm looking for sort of executive directors of organizations, whether they be for-profit, not-for-profit GMOs,
okay.
And GMOs.
Okay.
And I'm also looking at teaching. Now, I'm
okay.
doing some substitute teaching now.
Okay. Well, then, if you know what your focus is and you're clear about that, you have a networking problem. Meaning?
I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I have many followers on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Well, here's my advice. I wrote an article. You can Google it. It's called Eat and Drink Your Way to Your Next Job. And Eat and Drink Your Way to Your Next Job. And the bottom line is you're not buying enough coffee for people. Okay, so when people are applying for jobs, they do the isolating activity, which is go to the internet, you apply for all these jobs, your resume goes into the black hole and it's never heard of again.
Correct.
When in fact, you have to be waking up every morning saying, who am I going to buy a cup of coffee with today? I'm going to talk about my job search. I'm going to give them three copies of my resume, and I'm going to ask them for three other people that I could talk to. So certainly in the capital region, we do business where job searching is done by people we know, like, and trust. So not enough people know you're looking for work. They don't know exactly what you're looking for work, and therefore they can't bring you or feed you job opportunities.
Actually, I kind of have to disagree with that because
okay.
everyone I know does know. And
okay.
And I had a fairly high public profile. I was the deputy commissioner and counsel at a New York State agency. I was in the governor's office. I was in private practice where I had a number of cases that were decided up at the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. And also having been on all these charitable boards,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that. I'm
okay.
not sure.
How many hours a week are you spending on your job search?
Probably 5 to 6 hours a day.
Okay, that's not a job search. Oh, five to six hours per day.
Yes.
And what are you doing during that time?
Well, usually I'm searching for jobs online.
Okay, that's part of the problem. Here's what I would do. Okay, you can do whatever you want to do, but here's what I would do. If I were in your situation, I would have a cup of coffee with one person in the morning and one person in the afternoon. I would do that 5 days a week for an entire month, and I would give them three copies of my resume. I would ask them for more people to talk to, and if you keep doing that, probably within 2 months you would have an opportunity.
Okay, by the way, I'm not geographically bound.
Okay.
I'm a transplant from New York City, so I don't care in
right.
48 contiguous states.
Sure.
Boy, I tell you, with a CV like that, my heavens, you should have something every day coming your way. Have you thought about
Ray,
being
I agree.
Have you thought about being a judge?
I was nominated to be a judge, and the governor's term expired before I could make an appointment.
All right, you need to be a Supreme Court, I think. I think that's what you need to do. Hey, man, good luck.
I hope that was helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Take care.
Have a good day. 1-800-348-25. That's a strong resume, by the way. 1-800-348-2551. Julie in Florida, New York. Julie, you're on.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I actually don't have a question, but I want to offer hope.
Okay, great.
It's interesting I come after the guy of 70 because I'm going to be 65 next year. And in my late 50s, I had a background in marketing, whatnot. And near where I live, my parents had passed away. Our house was on the market. And basically, I backed into a real estate career at age 60, got my license, and I just had my best year yet.
Fantastic.
Making more money than I made 10 years ago. So
that's great.
I just want to offer help. or hope, rather, you know, that people also should be willing to rethink what they, you know, used to do and what, you know, there might be some field that you've never considered that might be out there, and you just, because that's not what you used to do.
Right.
Because I never really thought about real estate until I had a house to sell and it wasn't being sold, and I started working 10 hours a week for a local real estate company, just doing marketing, press releases, that kind of thing. And then my broker said, I know everybody, get your license, and I hadn't even considered it. So I just my two cents, just be open and try new things and don't be afraid. And I can't believe that I found a new career at age 60.
That's great. It's a great story. It's a great story, of hope. And, you know, as we age, we still have so much to offer. And you have like a lot of energy that and you're making a difference out there and you're having fun, it sounds like.
It absolutely. I just couldn't believe it, because I just want to say too, the last interview I went on, it was for like a director of communications, and it would have been a commute, but I found out I was 135 people applied. This was a few years ago, but 135 people applied. They only interviewed 10, and I got to be one of the 10, and that was really exciting for me, because I thought, okay, this is it, and I didn't get it, and it was just like, okay, I've got to do something else. I actually, that winter, I sold lift tickets at a nearby ski area, thinking that that would be my entree into the corporate PR world at this big, you know, nearby ski resort.
Oh, it's
resort.
A great story.
It didn't work. I sold lift tickets. I did a lot of skiing. But,
good for you.
Yeah, but anyway, just people think positive and try thinking out of the box, or, you know, just part-time, too. Another. That's how I kind of found this. But now I'm full-time, and you just never know. So good luck, everyone.
Okay,
Julie,
thank you so
a lot
much
for the call.
Again.
I mean, clearly Julie had an aptitude for real estate, whether she knew it or not.
Right.
And so real estate's not for everybody. I know people who've tried it later in life.
Real estate is very entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
You get into a real estate firm and they give you a business card and they say, you know, you have to be certified. You have to go.
Right.
And then they're like, okay,
you're a self-starter.
See
ya. Go to town.
Exactly.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Tom Denham is our guest. Let's go to Nico in Duanesburg.
Hi, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
You're on.
All right. So I'm a veteran going to school at the SUNY Polytechnic Institute College in Albany. And I'm finding out that it's tough finding a place here. And just in technology in general around here, it seems like it's
Hey, Nico?
Very much. Yes.
Can you go off speakerphone?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, it'd be much better for us. We're hearing everybody in the background. There you go. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Now start again.
So basically I'm going to school. I'm GI Bill for semiconductor physics here in Albany, and I'm trying to find an industry job. And I feel like there's a lot of people say there's a lot of veterans resources around and stuff like that, but I'm finding out that particularly with technology, research-driven multinational corporations, they really don't have this, like, idea of mentoring, like students or veterans who want to pursue higher education. Are there any actual resources, like, available that can help me land something in industry?
I'm not sure I understand the question. You're looking for a government program that can help you land a job in industry? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, government, state, any type of like service that tries to market like veterans to companies as something that's a priority, because we talk about veterans this, veterans that. But
yeah. What about the veteran? What about the Veterans Administration? What have they told you?
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem. I definitely, here's the thing. In order to get an education, I have that covered. I mean, the GI Bill and the vocational GI Bill will pay for my PhD in physics which I'm very grateful for. But when it comes to like getting an industry job, because part of my situation is that, you know, I joined the military when I was 18. I got out. I'm now 26, pursuing my undergraduate. You know, and I have a wife, a house. You know, so I need to work on the side. And
it
seems like there's these companies. I don't know. Like, if there's not a willingness to invest. You know what I mean? And mentor. Are there services, whether they're private or government, dedicated towards like helping companies and veterans connect in that way?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know the answer.
Okay. Wow.
There may be.
Background in physics, though. My gosh, you'd think you'd be able to find something. Maybe it gets to the point where you have to focus that job search again, like you talk about often, Dr. Tom.
But that's part of the problem is I'm at this school. I'm where all the industry leaders are. I mean, are you guys aware of the NSF?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
sure.
There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of people there. And there's a lot of smoke, and there's not a lot of real help. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's
so
toughy.
I don't know. Okay.
Well,
I guess.
Thanks.
What do I need to do? I need to do something for LinkedIn.
Well,
I need to just approach these people here?
I'll tell you what. I think your situation is complicated. So why don't you give me a call after the show?
We have two other callers here. Yeah.
And I will help you out.
Yeah, and I'll give you contact info after this break, which we have to take right now. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back with Dr. Tom Denham.
Support for WAMC comes from Pave Tile Wood and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone. Showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988, lglc.org. Union College Concert Series, presenting baritone Thomas Megliaranza, performing songs from Hugo Wolf's romantic cycle, Murica Leader, Sunday, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce, offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill, upstatedivorcemediation.com. And Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road, Colony, offering a new musically themed Sunday brunch, realseafoodco.com/brunch for menu.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC Career Forum today with Dr. Tom Denham. Number to call is 800-348-2551. Your website, Tom?
It's all one word. It's Careers in Transition. LLC.com.
So you have the LLC in the web domain.
Yes, I do.
Careers in Transition, LLC.com.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. Back to the phones we go. Greg in Saratoga. Greg.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon, gentlemen, Dr. Tom and Ray. It's a wonderful day to have no snow on the ground in early December.
Boy, I'm with you there.
Hey, I wanted your guys' perspective here on this. I'm 66 years old. I'm gainfully employed. Gets me out of the house. My wife is home with some disability, so she's got all sorts of aches and pains, and I could say, honey, I got to get out of here, and I got to do my job. So that's good, and it gives me some money. But I'm looking for perspective because I get awfully jealous when I hear about these other people that are retired 10 years ago and who stayed in the education field, which I didn't stay in. And I do need the money if I'm going to continue to live the way that I do. So I'm just trying, you know, and then I realize, hey, I'm going to work my life away, and that's good because at least I'm still alive. And my wife pointed out that in 1900, I probably would have been dead a long time ago. So what the heck am I complaining about?
She's talking about looking at the bright side, huh?
I know it. So I'm just trying to find some perspective because work is getting harder and harder in terms of they expect so much more out of everybody these days. And you really got to be doing 1.5 times the job if you're going to be in the private sector. And that's about what I'm doing. So it doesn't give me as much time to smell the roses as I would like, but at the same time, I need the dollars.
Yeah.
And I could, I guess, downsize, but I hear so many of these sad stories. People retire, and within a couple of years, they're throwing dirt on their face. So I don't know. How do you put this into perspective, guys?
Well, I think you have to get clear about your personal and professional goals. And I think you should write these things down. So you take yourself, you put you're in your 60s, did you say?
66.
66,
yep.
Okay. So you put yourself in the life cycle and you say, okay, in the next 4 years, these are the things that I would like to achieve. Do you want to work full-time? Do you want to work part-time? Do you want to do consulting? How much travel do you want to do? You know, do you want to downsize? You know, I think you have to write down these goals, because a lot of times people don't write down their goals. They keep them in their head, and they've got they're competing with other things for attention. And if you don't write them down and you're not clear about your goals, then you get distracted and frustrated and you get no results. Unclear goals, unclear outcomes. Unclear thoughts, unclear outcomes. So I think you've got to be clear about that. What I see a lot of times with people who are in their 60s is they take all those years of work and they go into consulting, and then you can change, you know, you can adapt your own schedule. I wrote an article, it's on the internet, it's called Retire First, Then Work,
yeah.
Retire First, Then Work Yourself to Death. Retire first, then work yourself to death.
Well, that's sort of the point. I guess I didn't realize, but I'm sort of a generation which does value work, and I do value it in that it gives me life. But on the other side, it's taking away life, and I guess that's the balance here. And do you see people? I mean, how many of the people that retire end up in the, you know, sad state? Sometimes what we choose for ourselves is not the best choice,
I guess. Yeah, I mean,
I see
retired people, and they come in and they retire for 3 months and they do all the house projects, and then they watch a little daytime television and they realize, this is not what I worked my whole life for. So a lot of retired people want to continue to work, but they want to work on their own terms. So they go into some kind of consulting, and that's what I tell people. It's like, why don't you just retire and then do the work that you would love to do? And sometimes you make more money doing it, like the real estate person that we were
talking to. It's a gamble,
to.
Though, if he still needs money coming in. That's a gamble, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a gamble not to do it.
It's a gamble not to do it?
It's a gamble not to do
it. Well, the kind of stuff I like to do doesn't pay anything. Let's put it that way. Polka dancing and walking in the woods generally
yeah.
doesn't pay anything.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. well, I don't know. I mean, that's a toughie, Tom. You're the doctor. I'm the radio man.
Yeah, I mean, again, sitting down with a financial planner, you can decide what is the minimum amount of money I need to make to fund my retirement.
Yeah,
and that
puts me working till age 70, because I also have kids with some disabilities and need financial help and all that. So, yeah, so that's what the, you know, statistics say, or that's what the, you know, if I want to keep up the current lifestyle. Yeah.
And again, going back to those three types of jobs, it's very important to get clarity on what those jobs are. And then you need to be telling people on a weekly, daily, monthly basis what you're looking for. The number one reason why people don't donate to nonprofits is they were never asked. So you have to keep asking people, having coffee with them, having these discussions. But the natural tendency is to what? Go to the internet, because that's what we do all the time. We go to the internet for all of our problems and answers. But the real strategy to this is to be meeting with people and deputizing them to be your job search agents.
No, that's excellent. I really got that one, and I really subscribe to that cup of coffee deal. That, I mean, I can really see that at this stage of my life. That's really important.
Hey, Greg, thanks a lot
for
the call. We appreciate it. Very good call. 1-800-348-2551. Allison in Boston Spa. Allison, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. This is an awesome topic, because I've been thinking about a career transition, right? And it's really daunting. So here's my story. So I moved up here from Connecticut about a year and a half ago. I worked for a large insurance company. I was in the office, in the corporate office, full time. I now work at home. I have two small children, so working at home, it works out pretty well, getting them to school and whatnot. But I hate it. I hate working from home. It's mm-hmm. boring. There's no social interaction, right? Everything is internet, sitting in front of your computer, maybe conference calls here and there. So I go and think about, okay, well, what would I like to do? Well, I have a master's in public health. So basically, none of those are good paying jobs. The problem I have is multifaceted. If I were to up and leave my job, there's very few jobs that are going to pay what I get paid. But I also feel like lately, in my current position, I'm more of a jack of all trades, master of none. And over the past 3 years, I almost feel like I've taken a step back in my career, because I'm not a professional in really anything. I'm a project manager, so yeah, I can manage projects, but they vary
on many different things. Let me interrupt you.
Yep.
Allison, how old are you?
34.
34. Okay. So again, I've been saying the word clarity a lot on this show. So,
yep.
And I've been saying the same thing, but this is the main problem that I see with my clients. I wrote, again, another article. You can read it. It's called Focus First, Network Second. You've got to be clear on what your career focus is. What are your ideal jobs, maybe two or three in those categories? What are your backup or realistic jobs? And what are your safety or survival jobs? And they have to get written out. The ideal is obviously the hardest to achieve, but it's the one that you're going to be the most satisfied with. So at 31, maybe you can't get your ideal job now, but do you have a plan so when you're 35, you're in that ideal job? Okay, so right now there may be a too big of a gap between where you are and where you want to be. But
right.
You have to be thinking about three things: the short term, the intermediate term, and the long term. And the long term is what most people don't think about. Everything you do in the short term should lead to the long term.
Right.
Hey, Allison,
right.
Can I just offer some radio person who has no doctorate in this sort of thing advice?
Sure.
That it sounds to me like you got a work-at-home job that pays well, and you're not paying child care, and you're home with your kids.
Oh no, I'm paying child care. No, I'm not a stay-at-home mom. They go to school and stuff like that.
Oh, but you work at you. Oh, okay, so you
but
you
I work
at home.
Out of the house.
But anyway,
yeah.
You're still in the job market. When you're ready to make that move, you still your resume has no holes in it. You know,
no.
I don't see how you're under the gun. You're being paid.
Yeah, no, I'm not. It's just, you know, I had gotten seriously ill not too long ago, and it was kind of an eye opener realizing that I don't want to work for health insurance anymore. You know, I think the realization came, I don't want to do insurance anymore. I honestly would love to go get my PhD in public health, and I would love to teach. That's what I want to do. But to get from there to here is not going to happen overnight, right?
Right.
And
it's a long-term plan.
Yeah, but, you know, from talking with people who are involved in getting the PhDs, it's not really worth your aggravation unless you really want to teach at college level, which is not something I necessarily have to do, particularly in the capital region, a doctorate in public health is you're not necessarily going to get your return on investment. So I was kind of, you know, taken aback by that. So I'm still learning the whole capital region, and the networking thing is great, and I think that's where I need to go. But where do
okay.
I network? I don't
so,
know anything
so, for,
here.
For, so first of all, you write down on a sheet of paper, getting my PhD is my ideal job, okay? And then if you're not willing to make the sacrifices to do that, what is the backup plan after that?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have that job title or that career. So that when you actually go out and network, you know, I network on the soccer field. I've been, you know, I hate to say it, I don't network at church, but people come up to me at church and they're like, can I have a business card? My brother-in-law got laid off and he needs to work with you. Okay, so, you know, networking can happen pretty much anywhere. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's important that when you go out and you start telling people what you want, that you're clear about it. Otherwise, they look at you and go, hey, you know, you really don't know what you want. But when you figure it out, come to me because I know a lot of people. Does
right.
that make sense?
And
yeah, again,
absolutely.
You know, I wouldn't give up on your dream. I mean, I have a doctoral degree. It took me 7 years to do it. I did it as a single parent. It's not a whole lot of fun. But there's another. Getting a doctorate is not fun. The results are fun. But there's an old expression, the size of your why determines how hard you try. And I knew crystal clear why
I
wanted to get
that one.
It's one of these multi-level marketing companies like Mary Kay comes
oh,
up
boy.
With. The size
All
of
right.
your why determines how hard you try.
Do me a favor. Never say that on the program again.
The size of your why determines
yeah,
how hard you try?
It's ridiculous.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead, Allison. I digress.
But if you know exactly why you're doing it, you have less risk of failure. But
yeah.
if you don't know why you're doing it, you'll go and you'll have two classes in your PhD program and you'll drop out.
Yeah. So I was actually in the process of applying, and then I had gotten sick. So, you know, it's funny how life throws those curveballs, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, as I progress into working at home full time, I'm thinking about things, and, you know, I think it's time that I take the next step and figure out how to get out of this
Yeah, well, you have to get out of something and go to something else. So yeah. I would encourage you to dare to dream, write down your dreams, and also form what I call a dream team, a group of male and female people that you know, like, and trust and you respect that can help you crystallize what you really want and then help you get there.
Allison, thanks a lot for the call. Of course, it's great. It's a great luxury to be able to look for another gig when you got good money coming in, whether you like it or not, whether that job is ideal or not. It's certainly makes it a lot easier.
I have people who make six figures, live in $400,000 houses, have a spouse, two kids, a dog Fido, and a manicured lawn that are well paid.
Yeah.
And they're miserable.
Yeah.
And so, again, the whole concept of sacrifice, what are you willing to give up to go over here? And if
right.
you're not willing to downsize your house or move, relocate, and that kind of thing,
right.
then you're going to be stuck.
The size of the Y
determines how hard you try.
Except after E.
Yeah.
And,
nothing changes if nothing changes. That's what I say.
Way. Sean in Kingston. Sean, you're on.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Great.
I just had a question or a comment, really, I guess. You know, there's such a difference between passive income and earned income. And I think there's such a lack of education in the United States about, so much of this issue that we have with turnover and people having to work so much longer than they used to. A lot of it comes down to monetary policy. We used to have a gold-backed currency that was signed away, fractionally over years, and by 1971... and then the market crashed and everybody's pensions were all wrapped up in the market. And all of a sudden, here we are and we don't have any kind of,
Yeah.
Now everyone's having to work longer.
All right. Well, why don't you discuss the gold standard, Tom? That probably is in your PhD. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was the introductory class that we had. Gold standard.
I see where Sean's going here, though.
Well, because here, this is what I'm hearing. Like when I hear that one gentleman calling and he's saying, I've been in government my whole life and I've been in education my whole life. And what do I do? For me, when I hear that kind of thing, I think every individual has a right to sustain their own life. So you think of the most basic things. What does that mean? That means food on your table and it means having shelter over you, at least when it's cold or rainy enough, right? So those are like the most basic things.
Right.
And we're telling everybody now the backwards. If you go back just a couple generations, all families were sustained by a farm. You were able to grow what you need to sustain your family. As soon as we started moving away from that, people stopped being as engaged politically in their local communities. Mm. You saw deterioration in family. So, the thing is, I always look at it as what are people doing to create passive income? Mm. Thing that's worked well for me has just been simply having apartments. It took me a while. I literally got bombed out buildings and did the work myself. I also happen to be a composer, so I've been able to sustain myself off of songwriting. But I always knew, thankfully, because the market has completely changed with technology, people don't want to pay for anything anymore. They feel it like they used to buy the CD, and now they think I'll just steal it, for free, which is, intellectual property is such a large part of the, economics in the United States.
Do you have a career question for us?
Yeah, my question is just how do you pass along to younger people the idea that they can sustain themselves by literally like cutting a tree down with an axe.
I dig it. Okay, we're about out of time, Sean.
And growing your own food.
thank you for that call. You want to expound on that for about 12 seconds while we wrap up the show?
Well, I think getting an education, getting internships, exploring the world of work, taking a class in entrepreneurship. But I guess one of the points is, yes, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And career self-management is very important.
That's right. And
it's also about networking. The person with the largest networks will always have the most job security, and don't rely on your employer.
The largest why. What's your email address again? or your web address, Tom?
Web address is careersintransitionllc.com.
Hey, man.
Careersintransitionllc.com. And my email is careersintransition@yahoo.com.
Nice to have you back.
Thank you for putting up with
Denham.
Me for an hour.
It was fun, my friend. Yeah. Support comes from Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook.
Lori Ilvesacker, Coldwell Banker, Village Green Realty, Woodstock, a professional realtor with 30 years of experience specializing in the greater Woodstock area home market and in finding acreage for building new. 845-901-6129. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Miracle on 34th Street weekends, December 11th through December 20th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. And Interactive Media Consulting, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing logo and print design, web development, and digital marketing throughout the capital region and beyond, marketing creative and business ideas since 1996. imediaconsult.com. All right, that's it for the program today. Thanks again to Dr. Tom Denham. Thanks to Dr. Zachary Malloy at the controls. Your phones are answered by Dr. Bruce Herbach and our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, PhD. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Dr. Rich Guthrie is here. It's The Bird Show. Stay tuned now for news.